On to market news and stories. This week, Goldman Sachs, a longtime top performer, reported a quarterly loss of more than $2 billion. Its first quarterly loss since going public 9 years ago. Profits are gone for most and many companies on Wall Street, but bonuses from earlier this year and the past decade have been very real, with some individuals taking home hundreds of millions of dollars. The lavish bonuses, some argue, may have provided incentives that led directly to the meltdown. Louise Story is covering the story for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning and welcome, Louise.
Hi there.
So describe to us this culture of bonuses. People get basic salaries on Wall Street, but really the bonuses is where the money has always been.
That's right. Wall Street pay has been growing and growing in the past couple decades, and it grew in the bonuses. And it got to the point where salaries were a tiny portion of a worker's pay, and it was the bonus that they were living on from year to year.
Like, you have this example of Dow Kim in 2006. He was at Merrill Lynch. His salary was $350,000, but his total compensation was 100 times that, $35 million?
That's right. That's a striking example, but many of the assets that the Wall Street firms were trading, particularly the structured finance assets like mortgage bonds, are hard to value, and it's unclear what they're really worth. And so at the end of the year, when traders and executives were marking down what they owned, they had incentives to be overly optimistic because their pay was linked to those hazy valuations.
And it was the pay of everyone from the lowest rung of the company straight up to the CEOs, right?
That's right. Even an analyst who might be 27 years old contributed to the valuations that went all the way up to the top and helped add up to the bonus pool that came to their division.
And why did you choose to focus on 2006 in your report today, which is in the New York Times?
In 2006, across the entire street, bonuses were the highest they'd ever been, and it was the last year before banks started taking write-downs. It's the year that the most toxic mortgage bonds were issued that have caused the most write-downs. So when we look at the pain that's come, it's come out of the investments that were made in 2006 when people were paid big bonuses for making those investments.
You know, Louise, I can hear a frequent guest on our program. You may have even talked to him, Peter Morici, who's an economist down at University of Maryland. He's always screaming about how the compensation is basically driving these companies into the ground. I don't know if that's so much really the issue here, but it certainly pays to have been at the front of the parade. Stan O'Neill from Merrill Lynch got an enormous chunk of money, even though he was one of the very first casualties as the crisis began to emerge.
That's right. This is an issue that all corners of finance should do more thinking on. Even at hedge funds, if a trader makes a lot of money, is paid a lot of money on a valuation that's not true in a few years, he or she doesn't suffer. So it's really investors who might be able to push financial institutions to tie compensation over much longer periods and put in provisions to allow aggressive clawbacks if those valuations were not right.
And does that happen anywhere on the market now?
UBS and Morgan Stanley just introduced policies that will be used in the future, but there were no policies at any large place in recent years that would have applied to 2006, except a lot of banks have provisions for outright fraud. You know, if someone was, you know, knowingly making accounting statements that were wrong, this is hazier. Valuation is hazier than outright fraud.
But I think for most of us who don't live in a world where your bonuses are everything, it's just hard to understand how you can benefit from something that doesn't exist.
Well, as we look at so much of what's happening in the financial world, these complicated structured bonds and instruments are tied to valuations that we won't know about for a long time. And so that's another thing I think we'll see on Wall Street is a lot more simplification of the investment structure so that investors know more what they're getting now.
Louise Story, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.